The world leader in Internet Talk Radio. Internet Talk Radio. You're listening to America's Voice. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Hey, 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 America. You're listening to Waking Up in America. We're a radio magazine for intelligent and engaging conversations about topical subjects in the world today. Reach over and take a child's hand or take your friend's hand and tell them that we can create a wonderful new future and that we need everybody's wisdom to do that new world. Tell them that we can learn from our mistakes and grow strong. And that's why I have David Horowitz here today, and you're going to hear more about that in a moment. Come be a fly on the wall with us and listen to some of the most intriguing conversations in radio. And you can get it only here on Waking Up in America. Our experts in this premier radio magazine are Cherie Ross, who incorporates essential oils into your daily life, Maureen O'Crean, who is... She lives the life of a diva, and she shares the do's and don'ts in a colorful and delightful way. Lisa's all about families, and she turned into a grandma this last week. And actually, I think we're going to be having Joy on the show today. Lisa's so happy about cheering for her new grandson that she's gotten laryngitis. I think the weather may have contributed to it, too. But what can I tell you? Joy will give us the lowdown on a very interesting birth process. Debbie Ringchop will give you new ways of igniting a financial future for yourself and your family, and she's calling in today from Las Vegas. George Macheski will show you where leadership fits into your life, and I love to introduce and interview the best from science to peace to politics to health and the arts, and I got really frosted over what I perceived the cell phone companies to be doing, so David's an old friend, and I called him up, and I said, I've got to talk to you. I've got to talk to you. So there you go.
All right, I'm here. But and just let me just say one thing so people will know. I am the David Horowitz, who's the consumer guy, and you could, if you want to, if while we're talking, you want to see what I look like, you can go to my fightback.com, my website, which has a lot of stuff, and we don't sell anything on our website, so I'm not trying to sell you anything. But the other David Horowitz is a political David Horowitz, who used to be someone who was very far to the right and then became somebody who was very far to the left and very conservative. Now, he also happens to be someone that I know very well, and we get together every once in a while. And the joke is, David, where would you like to go to lunch? And he said, you can pick the restaurant out and just make the reservation in my name. Well, it's usually in our name, and I get the check. It's okay, though. It's okay, David. But there are two of us, so just remember, it's the consumer person that you're speaking to, not the person who is politically inclined, although the consumer, the whole consumer area is one that is totally enmeshed in politics. Okay?
Well, David, right. let's give them a way to ask questions, because as you get going, I'm sure more and more people will be interested in asking you a question personally. So if you guys send me an email at Val, V-A-L, at WakingUpInAmerica.com, then I can actually read that to David on the air, and that's what we'll do. So there you go, David.
Okay, gang.
I told you what got me going about the cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have the market locked up. At first I thought it was one company. They've got these huge charges if you try to cash out. They've got rollover minutes that can't be kept if you change plans. They've got it boxed so that it looks like they're giving you a good thing. But if you go to change anything, there's huge charges and loss of minutes, and there's just an enormous amount of things going on. And at first I thought it was just one company. Then I called around and found out that two or three of them are doing the same thing, and the one that I thought was bad, I actually found one that was worse.
Well, but they're all basically out there doing their own thing, and you wonder where is the Federal Communications Commission in terms of the regulations that they should have to stop some of this. But the whole point is, they're now all looking at this as a way of doing business. And we're living in a society where businesses can do more now than they ever have before without having the kinds of regulations that really hold them to the what they're doing in the area of phones or anything, cars, you name it. But in the telephonic business, telephony is what they call it. I think they're just absolutely getting away with murder. And you're talking about throwing things. Well, first of all, if you don't read the contract, you're screwed. Forget it. If you don't read the contract and know what the contract says and comment on it before you either buy or rent that phone, you're finished, because once you sign that piece of paper, they got you. And they've got you with things like, okay, if you opt out of the contract before a year, you got to give us $150 or $250 or whatever.
Try 2 years.
Well, now it's up to 2 years. See, they're getting smarter, and there's no law to stop them from doing this. There's no law to stop them. And the point is, even if you are a sharp consumer, if you want that phone bad enough, you're going to sign that contract, and if you want to get out of it, you're going to scream and howl, and they're going to say, well, you signed the contract. That's simple. You have a choice. Sign it or don't.
Now, is there any company in the cell phone business that you respect?
Yeah, I like some of the companies. I like some of the companies in the cell phone business. I don't want to give any of them a pat on the back and endorse them, but some of them are very real. And you know, just an example of what's going on. You know that come January, that you're going to be able to have your number listed so that people can go to an operator and say, I want to talk to cell phone, whatever, and they will actually give you the number of that person's phone to call. Now, the point is, most of the major cell phone companies are saying, oh, yes, we're going to do that, and there's only one, Verizon, that I have heard of that will give the people who have a choice, which is the cell phone users, whether or not they want to be bothered with calls like this, because what's going to happen is it's going to be like having a phone book. But it's different in the telephone business, particularly when you're talking about cell phones, because when you call somebody's phone, whether they're there or not, or answer or not, you dial the phone and get to them, it's going to cost you money on two ends. One,
yeah,
on your phone bill, and one on when you make the connect, you're also going to have to pay for that on your phone. So that's going to be a big moneymaker for the cell phone companies. But I like Verizon only because I remember when Verizon started in this crazy business. And, of course, they've now become part of other companies. You know, they're involved in, you know, all these companies are merging like crazy, which makes them more monopolies out there. And so, but they're very good about it. But, you know, in terms of being tough, they're as tough as everyone else, but they're a little more involved in their customers and making their customers happy rather than ticking their customers off. The other phone companies just don't care.
So that's an almost commercial for Verizon.
No, it isn't, because there are other companies that are okay too, but I'm only bringing Verizon up on this one issue, and that is they're going to give their people a choice of whether or not they want to be listed so that people can reach them on their cell phone.
Well, it looks like they're also willing to not force that income.
Right.
You know?
Because, you know, it's going to all come to them anyway, because it's like everything else. You know, when you get a cell phone, it has certain things on it. You like this, you like that, and then they keep adding new features, and you get more involved in it, and it keeps costing you more money. And one great example of a contract that now is going to become a lawsuit in a contract is where they require you to buy insurance so that if you lose your cell phone, they used to replace it if, in fact, you lost it or whatever. They don't do that anymore. Now, you're going to have to pay for insurance, which is about $5 to $6 a month on most cell phones, if you want to get a cell phone replaced that's been stolen or lost or whatever, that kind of thing. Now there's a whole group of people who are in a lawsuit now against some of these companies, saying, why do we have to pay for that when we have a warranty and a guarantee? Why do we have to guarantee again by paying $5 a month? This is going to go to court. So, you know, they keep going in there. The other thing that really ticked me off is that the bills that you get from the cell phone companies, they're almost very difficult to read, to be honest with you. You got to just to find out the number of the phone that they're billing you for. But the other part of it that is kind of scary, that you got to have a number in order to get to the person who's going to answer your problem. In other words, they're going to say, well, what is your corporate number? What is your corporate ID? And I have great reservations about giving companies corporate IDs, corporate numbers, and things that don't relate to why I have that phone, which is to communicate. And this just slips right by the people in Washington and also the people in some of the state houses. So, you know, we're not even protected on that angle. They try to protect us against having our personal things not looked at, but they know it. And with things like your corporate ID, if you're in a corporation of some kind, they can do a lot of damage to someone who gets a hold of that, you know. So
I got it. I've got an email here from Caitlin, and Caitlin asked the question. Well, she said it seems to me it didn't used to be like this. What happened?
Well, what happened is progress. You know, when the phone companies were monopolies, they basically stayed within bounds, and they charged you, and you paid whatever they told you to pay because you didn't know the difference. you were locked into either an AT&T or, you know, very few phone companies. So they were able to just pull your chain and do whatever they wanted to do. But in the free enterprise society that we're in, you know, the FCC and Congress decided, well, let's open everything up and allow these companies to be, you know, just basically on the market and do what they think is right. Okay? So what they thought was right was to, first of all, go out there and compete in terms of costs on phone service. You know, you remember, you probably remember when to call from a place like Los Angeles to New York, it cost you something like $1.10 a minute.
Right.
You know, it was ridiculous. Well, all the phone rates started to go down, and then competition came in, and the marketplace opened up to competition. And that competition has become so fierce, but now it's sort of backing off because a lot of these companies are merging together, and they're becoming, again, monopolies. Not to raise your phone bills, you know, to enormous amounts on one level, the way AT&T did in terms of charging you for each second that you're on the phone, but what they're doing is they're throwing things out like the things we're talking about. You know, these clauses and contracts, and they even had the absolute nerve. You know where they list all the government charges, different taxes,
right?
And Verizon. That's why I say I don't endorse any phone company. Verizon was one of the companies that was nailed by the federal government for putting in that box where they have all those laws, so to speak, all
right.
Those things. They put in there a number, and they said, this is, you know, here it is, you've got to pay this, whatever, whatever. They never told you what it was. It looked like it was something that was put in there by a state or the federal government.
Right.
And you know what it was?
No.
It was what they felt they were losing in profit by being out in the marketplace. Now, they got nailed for that. But if someone hadn't noticed it and it hadn't gone to the right place, we'd be still paying that on our phone bills. I mean, it's incredible.
It's amazing. Now, you mentioned something about Congress earlier when we were talking.
Yeah.
About how 2 years ago Congress took off a lot of restrictions.
There was a law that was passed several years ago. The phone company said, what we need to do is have guidelines. The telephone company said, we need to have guidelines in order to operate. So what the federal government did through Congress was to put some guidelines up which were really very nasty for the phone companies, particularly when cell phones were just starting to grow like crazy. And they found out that what they had done is sewed themselves into a cell, and they couldn't get out because they agreed to this. So when they realized they made a mistake, they started walking down the halls of Congress to tell the Congress people who passed this law when the phone companies wanted to get them out of it because they're losing money like hand over fist. So what happened is that Congress very gingerly said, well, we're going to get rid of this law because it doesn't allow us to have free competition in the marketplace. The marketplace has to open up. So these regulations go away. So when the regulations went away, guess what? It became absolutely like an open window. And everything was just flying out the window. These companies started to just make regulations and all sorts of rules for people who were buying and using their phones that were ridiculous. And they were getting away with it. And they still are, and it's getting worse. It's getting worse in terms of customer service, in terms of actual service on your phones, in terms of all these things that we sit and bat our brows about and say, oh, look, we're getting screwed here and we're getting cheated here. It's all thanks to the buddies that we have who represent us in Congress, basically. It also happens on state levels, but it mostly happens in the federal government. And, you know, I spent 2 years on the Consumer Advisory Board of the Federal Communications Commission. And after 2 years of watching them operate, I just couldn't wait to get out of there. Because I really felt that, yes, they are going out there to help consumers. They are doing a good job in some areas, but they are just nothing more than puppets for Congress. And when Congress wants to do something, that's it. Boom.
Well, we were talking about puppets for Congress earlier, and then we were also talking about how Congress may be puppets, but I'd like to find out what's going on for other team members, so George or Debbie or Cherie or Lisa.
Well, I don't mean to zap things. If you have a question or something you want to ask about, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I want to see.
And just let me know your name and where you're located.
George.
Okay, bye, George.
Where'd you go, Georgie? I know you're there.
Hi, guys. This is Cherie calling.
Hi, Cherie.
Talking. Hi. Hey, I have a question for you.
Where are you from, Cherie?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, good. You can hear us on the radio there.
That's where my house is, yes, and but I'm not here very often.
Okay, that's good.
Here's the situation. I do an enormous amount of time on my cell phone. I used to have AT&T. Obviously, they merged with Singular. The challenge that I have when I travel all across the United States, now I have in my vehicle...
No, they merged with Southwest Bell Communications.
Did they?
Southwest Bell Communications bought AT&T.
And then how come Singular got in the...
Well, then Singular bought either... I'm trying to think whether it was the use of the name, but Singular is Singular.
Well,
Singular is a separate phone company. But they can use the name AT&T. They might have bought one of the areas that was owned by AT&T, but Southwest Bell Communications basically owns AT&T.
Well, and I'm talking cell phone now, not home phone. But Singular is what I get on my bill now, and you know when I call for help, it's Singular and all this. So what's interesting is I have a booster in my vehicle. I have an outside antenna in addition to a car kit set up in my vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I travel all across the United States. As the TV commercial says, you get more bars with Singular. What's interesting is I have four or five bars on my cell phone, but I cannot make a phone call.
Well, that doesn't surprise me about Singular.
At all. I have no ability to receive a call or send a call, even though I have more bars, as their commercial says.
Well, who have you complained to about this?
They don't care.
Well, I know they don't care, but when the FCC sends them a letter and says, we've gotten complaints about this, we want your side of it, they've got to care and answer. But companies like Singular are really companies you have to watch in terms of what they do. And let me just give you one example. I got a complaint from someone in Chicago who went in to buy a phone in a Singular store, okay? They went in to buy the phone in a Singular store, and it happened to be one of these new nifty phones. This is about a year ago. And they went in and they bought the phone, and they said, well, I'll tell you what, I want to hear how good the reception is, okay? So they said, oh, that's fine. Here, we'll let you hear the reception. Call out on the phone. So the guy calls out on the phone, the reception's great, gets out of the store, starts driving, and he can't get anything on the phone in the area that he's driving through. And what they were doing in the store was boosting the signal in the store where they were selling the phones so that the signal would have been better, which is, by the way, illegal to do. Now, when this occurred, I got myself a phone, also a Singular, because Singular had a new type of phone that you can plug into your car, and it works great, you know. And so when I got this phone, and I went into the store, local store, to buy the phone, and I said, what's the reception like? They said, oh, the reception's just great, great reception. Okay, great reception in the store. They installed the phone in my car, and then I couldn't get anything. And some areas I was, and some areas I couldn't. Because they were not hooked up in order to be able to grant me that kind of reception, because other companies owned the lines going in there. And it's very difficult for these companies to then brighten up. But what they were also doing was doing something illegal, which I brought to their attention. and suddenly it stopped. Not because of only me, but because also some law enforcement people in the federal government were involved in it. But the whole point is that these companies, once they sell you that phone, it's yours. Now, you have a choice. You could either keep it under the contract or get rid of it. Now, these companies make everything look so wonderful when the commercials are on the air, when you read their ads. Did you read the fine print in your Singular contract?
A Singular contract. I had an AT&T contract, and they just switched over.
To Singular. But did you read? Did you get a new contract?
No.
Well, I suggest you do that, because your AT&T contract is going to be null and void when a new company owns it, and they're not going to stand up to anything that you had from a former company. They're going to say you're now you're a Singular person, and guess what? You have to live up to our contract.
Yeah, we got you.
And you're talking about cellular. You're talking about cellular, you know, not the regular AT&T stuff. But I think most of these companies, and I give you chapter after chapter of how they get away with stuff.
Right.
And they only get away with it because the public demands those phones and is willing to sign those contracts. And it's getting more, first of all, the other thing that really is absolutely enough to make you lose all your hair at one time, but just by pulling it out of your head, is the fact that now they are outsourcing, all of these phone companies are now starting to outsource their consumer complaint stuff. So you could be talking to somebody in Nepal about what the problem is in your phone, and yeah, they sound like, oh yes, we'll help you and so on, so we'll send you to someone else, and you can end up in some other place in the world where you're talking to somebody who basically is just reading off a computer what the company is telling him to read and what the company is telling him to do and not to do, and if you don't like it, goodbye.
Hey David, we've got 2 minutes left.
That's
where
all
they go. Yeah, where do we send them?
Well, if with your problem, you can go to a state public utilities commission in the state you live in and complain about it.
And does Cherie go the same place?
Yeah. You go there or to the Federal Communications Commission. And you can go online to Federal Communications, FCC.gov, and you will be guided to, from FCC.gov, you'll be guided to a place where you can file a formal complaint about this. But these are complaints that people have. That are legitimate complaints.
Oh, you bet they're legitimate.
I'm not saying I don't know what's behind the complaints, but I'm saying what you're telling me about is something that can be complained to a state public utilities commission where you live and also to the FCC.
And how much clout does the FCC have in 30 seconds or less?
I think the FCC does a good job. They're undermanned. They don't have enough people.
It's a time issue.
You know, but they do go after these people.
We want you to go to fightback.org. Is it fightback.org?
No, we're at .com. Fightback.com. And if you go to fightback.com, there are all kinds of places you can get all kinds of information. But if you want to complain about something, go to the Fightback forum. And there are all sorts of areas that you can complain about there. And that will go out all over the world, folks.
David Horowitz, it has been an absolute pleasure. We'll have you back on next month talking about credit bureaus, another one of my favorite subjects, and how they have America by the hamstrings. What a background you have. You've got 8 best-selling books. They should go to Amazon.com and find out a list of the books you've written, huh?
Well, they have, but I haven't done any in like the last 4 years.
What's your favorite book?
My favorite book was the first book that I did, and it was called Fight Back and Don't Get Ripped Off. And it's become a classic.
There you go. If you want to put a classic in your hands, that's the way to do it. David will be back in December. I want to thank you so much for being here, David. And Cherie Ross, who you heard talking about her cell phone, maybe we can get something going here, Cherie. But in the meantime, maybe we can poured an essential oil on your telephone? Maybe that would wipe it out.
Actually, it would melt it.
It would melt it?
It would melt it. She's right.
It's a classic, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yeah, it's a good thought and concept, though.
I know. I just, you know, you can tell I'm a little annoyed.
Yeah, I'm more than a little annoyed. When a block from my house, I don't even have cell phone coverage.
So yeah. That's essentially yours. What do you have to share with us today?
Oh, lots of things. So today it is, I don't know what it's like there, but here in the north, it's definitely winter. And with winter comes an enormous amount of things like colds, flus, snuffles, sniffles. We get inside more, so we have the dry heat, all those things. So we're going to talk about what to do to prevent the dry skin, dry eyes, dry mouth, scratchy throat, all those good things that people get. And we're going to talk about increasing vision. So first of all, there's a wonderful little a remedy that I work with for helping to completely annihilate dry eyes and increase vision. So that's where we're going to start today. And because vision is getting worse and worse, I don't know if you know this, Dr. Val, but people are having to wear glasses at younger and younger ages, and more people are wearing glasses because their vision is being impaired.
What are they attributing that to?
I don't know what they are, but I
well,
know
whoever
I can.
Okay, so what are you attributing it to?
Basically, you know, those are just studies being done around the United States where, you know, people wearing glasses, you see all these stats and these studies in different publications, Time Magazine, Newsweek, and, you know, newspapers and so forth. So here's what I attribute it to. One is obviously the change in nutrition. Because whether you want to believe it or not, 80% of our vision comes through our brain. 20% is actually the eye itself. And there's a wonderful book written by Jean Houston, and she gets into great detail about this, about how actual seeing or vision works in one of her chapters. And it is in her second to the last book, and right now the name of it is leaving me, but she has a whole function of the brain on and vision. So what are we doing to nourish our brain? Well, one of the problems that we are doing is these artificial sweeteners are actually causing huge shutdowns in our brain.
Can you turn up the volume?
Turn up the volume? I can
on
talk really loud.
Okay.
Okay. So in order to work with improving the nutrition, number one, no more artificial sweeteners, okay? No more Splenda, no more aspartame, no more NutraSweet, no more Sweet and Low, no more nor anything that is an artificial sweetener, okay? And because what that does is it actually impedes neurological function in the brain and specifically works in a few areas, memory being one, but it also shuts down the vision ability. So little by little, we are poisoning ourselves and creating more blindness in ourselves, okay? Another thing that we need to be very careful of is to make sure that we do not use anything that has been microwaved. Because in when you are around a microwave, what a microwave does, there's a wonderful study by Dr. Joseph P. Runyon. He did his third PhD thesis, I believe it was in the year 2000, on the damaging effects of microwave ovens for people 50 years old and older and 13 and younger. And what he found, now this is after people doing one thing in a microwave for 90 days a day. So one thing a day in a microwave, whether it was water or food just to warm up, it didn't matter, popcorn, you name it. One thing a day for 90 days in the microwave, permanent damage to the brain in three areas, vision, hearing, and memory.
My God.
Okay, so, and this, there's huge studies done in Europe, too, that lasted way longer, that took people as young as they could find as well as well into their 90s, and all of them reported serious damages to the body with microwave use. So I would strongly encourage everyone to not use a microwave, to unplug it and get it out of your house. If you like the convenience, go find an infrared oven. Infrared ovens are not unhealthy for you, they're healthy for you, and they cook in about 75% of the time as a microwave, so they're quite convenient, and they retain the food value.
Where do you get them? I've never even heard of them.
There's different places on the Internet. If you just do a Google search under infra, I-N-F-R-A, infrared ovens, and you'll start to find some. And there's more and more places carrying them, like IKEA and different places like that are starting to carry them. My sister just got one and in their home. And so, you know, those are just nice things to have for when you're a family on the go or rushed. And people in an office, the last thing I would have if you want productivity in your office is a microwave. Because a microwave literally slows down the brain function. It slows down the brain's ability to communicate. And so that makes no sense to me. If you want effectiveness, you want accuracy and efficiency in your office, why would you have a microwave which actually counteracts all those abilities? So for those of you who are working, talk to your supervisors or you yourself, you know, encourage people to get that microwave out of there and replace it with something that's a toaster oven, anything other than a microwave. So those are just two things that will dramatically affect the adversely vision. So let's talk about what will increase vision availability. Well, there's a wonderful essential oil liquid that I work with that's called vitamin A, D, and E with essential oils in it. And it's bright red, and there's virtually no taste to it, but what you do is you take that every day. And when you take that every day, within 2 to 3 weeks period of time, you actually see an improvement in the dry eyes completely go away, and your vision starts to improve. Okay? Now, another thing that I work with is something called the Ninxia wolfberry. It comes from China. It has been researched, and I have wonderful research on this. If anybody would like to get a hold of this research, I'll be happy to send it to you. There's a fantastic book written about it that's under $20 that will just completely expand your mind into an area you are. It'll be one of your favorite books that you've ever read because of how it will improve your body's health, your mental accuracy, your emotions, your moods, things like that. And just so that you have great days, bottom line, you have great days. And so that's the Ninxia Red or the Ninxia Wolfberry, okay, and it's actually, I've talked about it before, it's actually a fruit, but they classify it as an herb because it has so many medicinal properties in it. And then there are some oils, so let's talk about the oils.
Well, actually, we're almost out of time, so.
Well, I'll throw these oils out at you real quickly. Frankincense, cypress, lavender, lemongrass, eucalyptus radiata, cedarwood, okay, those are to name a few, and clary sage. So if you'd like to learn more about these wonderful essential oils and how they can help you lose your glasses and have better, more accurate vision and have your brain working better for you, give us a call at toll-free 866-RADIO-99 or heavenincorporated, all spelled out, .com, my website, young-living.net. There you go.
I would like to have you put together something and have Maureen put it on the website.
Sure.
That lists all of those things. And I really want to invite all of our listeners to visit the website at you can go over there and you can sign up to be on our mailing list, and you'll know who's coming every week, and you can be ready to have the question for them or let your friends know because it's a topic that you've been talking about, whatever. And you can do that by going to wakinguponamerica.com or heavenincorporated.com. You'll get to the same place from either direction and sign up there and check out our newest editor, Miss Debbie Ringchop, who she's up right now. And she's retirement rescue, and we're so glad you're here to rescue our retirements because I was getting pretty worried, Deb.
Thank you. Yes, I am on the road today. I'm in Vegas enjoying a conference with a lot of other financial planners and people looking to try to help save these retirement plans. So cell phone, sorry. Unfortunately, that's one of our problems we have to deal with. So today, what I really wanted to talk about is the American dream. You know, we're told we're supposed to go to school, get a job, buy a house, and then pay it off as fast as we can. And there's a big problem with paying off your house as fast as possible because your home, your house is actually supposed to be a home to live in, place to raise your kids, create memories, you know, someplace that you're really enjoying as you live through life. But the house itself, it is an asset for you, but it's not an asset that you want to just look at by itself. I have a little story I'd like to show you. Visualize this. You have a pitcher of water and you have a goblet. And in this pitcher is your money. So you have the value of your house. Say you bought a house for $100,000. And this $100,000 is that certain amount of money. If you were to take the $100,000 and pour a portion of it over into the next goblet, and that is like taking a mortgage, taking a portion of it out, you now have two assets instead of just one. So if you're looking at your balance sheet, say you take out $50,000, you have $50,000 plus $100,000, so you have two different assets that can grow at the same time. As you pay off your house and pour the $50,000 back into your home, you are now cutting your money in half. So you're taking an asset, and instead of doubling your assets, you are halving your assets. So what you really want to do is be very specific. You want to be disciplined with the methods you use for investing. When you're using your home, you must look at it from three different directions. I'm getting some interference on my phone. Sorry about that. So anyway, your house is actually there for a couple of things. You need to look at the liquidity of your home. You don't want to think of losing your home itself. You want to have the money that you're able to take out when you can afford to take it out. When you lose your job, you no longer are eligible to get a mortgage. So that's one of the times that you need to do it while you can. The second part is the safety. For those people, say, in the flood zones down in Louisiana and other areas, when their houses were washed off their foundations, those that had the mortgages and had their money outside invested had saving grace. Those that had their homes paid off, we heard it from the mayor down there, it's a sad day, I just finished paying my home off. All that money is gone. So you need to really look at how you're utilizing your investments. You must take that money and conservatively and in a guaranteed side fund, let it grow at a faster rate than what you are paying for it. And you want to pay your bank as little as possible as you go along. So part of the program that I'm trying to help you understand is to become your own bank. You want to take on the banking option of, I will take control of my money. Instead of giving more money to the bank for them to invest, I'm going to take that money and put it in my own retirement fund, let it grow. Let it grow preferably in a tax-deferred account that you can get access to tax-free. So you must look at the tax implications of your investments. So in this case, there are very specific accounts and types of investments you can do that you can look at getting your money out tax-free after you've invested it. And if you wanted to, at some point, let it grow on the outside of the mortgage and then pay your home off, say 15 years down the line, 12 years, when you have enough money, or just keep it going, because really you don't have to pay your home off as long as you have sufficient liquid assets in a safe environment that could eliminate that liability. So what we really want to do is think about how our money is being spent, how it's being invested. The more money you give to a bank, if you don't need to give them as much, why would you give your money away? So much better to take that money and invest it for yourself and work with a financial planner that understands the tax implications and understands the kinds of ways you can employ that money, then you're going to be much better off. You are really, the more you do not take advantage of your equity, taking it out and putting it somewhere else, that there is an opportunity cost. Any money that is not invested elsewhere is losing that rate of return you could have made. So the most important thing here is for everyone to really look at where their money is being stored, how it's spent, how much you pay the banks, try to eliminate all the bad kinds of debt and use good debt, such as the employment of your equity, and invest in accounts that are going to help you grow, and especially go for the type of accounts that will let you grow tax-free. So that's, if you would like to know more information about this, please send me an email at debbie@wakingupinamerica.com, and I can provide you some more information. We do counseling with people to help them out and understand some of the options that are available. As we continue our program week to week, I'll be giving you some more ideas.
Oh, that's excellent, Debbie. Thank you very, very much.
You're very
welcome.
Imagine
some people sitting there and going, where do I start with this?
There's so many options.
You're listening to Waking Up in America. We invite you to visit our website at wakingupinamerica.com. Sign up. We also, if you want to pick up a recording of the show, you can join our club for $39 a year. We'll send you an MP3 file each week on who's been on, and we've had some fabulous conversations with some editors and some drop-ins by some really amazing people, today being David Horowitz. Next online, I would like to find out if I have Joy here. Joy, are you online? Lisa's mom. Well, I know there's a new grandchild around. Actually, Joy is Lisa's mother. And our Lisa Molson is now a grandmother with a little boy. And Alicia, everybody is so happy in this family, and I want them to tell you in person the story about how this all works. So I'm assuming that the baby has taken charge here of what is needed, because Joy was going to join us and tell us about the birth. Lisa is going through some voice challenges. She has a little laryngitis with us today. So, Lisa, we'll be sending you energy into your grandson. It's so funny to think of you having a grandson. And there it is. Enjoy. You're a great-grandmother. How about that? And I think there'll be more to come. So you have our blessings and our goodwill. I'm actually going to let you know that I'm going to be in Rome next week, and I'm going to be calling in from Rome, and George Krzyzewski is going to be hosting the show next week, so that sounds pretty good to me. And George is coming up right now, and he's our leadership person. So, George, take it away.
Thanks, Val. I was having a conversation about this whole issue of, as we go about our work, whatever kind of organization we might be involved in, do we get more out of working harder? Or is there something that we really can change in the way in which we work? And I realized that the idea of just investing more time is really not something that pays off benefits for us. Because at the end of the day, it is how we influence other people that will end up making a difference in how we do whatever it is that we're doing. And I was recalling a situation where I was coaching a member of a management team, and he and I had had, I guess we were on our third meeting, and about halfway through the coaching session, he looked at me and he said, "George, why are we meeting?" And I said, "Well, if you continue on the path that you're on, you're going to be leaving the organization." And he said, "Aha, they set this up so that this would just be something as a stepping stone to getting rid of me." And I said, "Oh, no, quite the contrary. They see you as someone who's quite talented. However, the way in which you're currently operating is aggravating them, and they will end up telling you to leave, or you will not be valued for the talents that you know you possess, and you're going to get frustrated and leave. So either way, the outcome is the same. You'll leave the organization, either because they're frustrated because of the way that you operate, or you'll be frustrated because of the lack of being valued." And he looked at me, and he said, "Oh, so this is about the choice I make." I said, "Absolutely, because it's the choice that you make about how you want to contribute, how you want to be part of the team, how you want to be able to have your talents contributing and valued within the organization." That conversation, that little bit of dialogue, took all of about 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, we changed our relationship, because he now saw that I wasn't there to impose something on him, but rather was there to help him understand and make shifts so that he could be more effective within the organization. That I was his partner, not an adversary. That we could be open and supportive with each other without fear of what's going to be done with that information. And from that 5-minute conversation, he ended up being selected to lead their international expansion as they set up an international service group. When he finished with that very successful assignment over about a 2-year period, he then was put in charge of their largest account that represented 1/3 of their corporate revenue. So we went from someone who was on the ragged edge, the team was saying, if he stays or not, no problem, because the way he operates doesn't really fit in with us, to being entrusted with one of the jewels of their organization, 1/3 of their revenue. It didn't come out of harder work. It came out of 5 minutes of changing dialogue that helped lead to wonderful outcomes along the way. And I believe that there are so many situations that we find ourselves in that if we took a moment to reframe the experience, it would lead to different behaviors and better outcomes. So perhaps you have something that you'd like to change the frame, how you'd like to see things differently. I encourage you to give me a call for your free consultation at 877-321-4852. And we'll see if we can help you make progress in your lives. Val, back to you.
George, thank you. I was thinking when you were talking, you know, I have a background as an MFCC, and one of the most powerful tools we use is called reframing. And it's actually exactly what you just said. Anytime you can see a situation from a different point of view, you have a new future. So what George is offering you is very profound and very generous because he's extremely skilled at allowing people to see things in a new way. So, good offer, George. Good offer. Also, if you go to our bookstore, you can actually see books that George has written, and they're available for your purchase, and so is the Divas book. I'm Dr. Val Kirkgaard, as Maureen teases me, I think, occasionally. My big bag is peace. I had a friend named Dr. Jim Murphy, and Jim Murphy and I went to the State of the World Forum back in the year 2000, and Jim Murphy traveled all over the world. He was an orthopedic hand surgeon, and when he wasn't doing hand surgeries, he was traveling to different countries with a different form of essential oil than the one you use, Cherie, and he was doing essential oils, and he was doing Conversations for Peace. And he traveled from Ireland to Africa to whatever. And Jim and I, when we were actually shared a room at the State of the World conference in 2000, and I heard some strange noise at night, and he was breathing funny and things like that. And I woke up, and I said, Jim, are you okay? Having a little trouble sleeping here. It was kind of rackety. And he goes, Val, I don't think you understand. I'm dying. I didn't understand that he was dying. I noticed that he had lost weight, but I didn't know that he was dying. And he had been very generous and signed me up and put me in a lot of different workshops and introduced me to some very fine people at different places on this planet. That was in September of 2000. And in October of 2000, Jim and I were supposed to take a course together on partnership because we were going to do work with different people in the world. And he called me on a Friday to say that he wasn't well enough to go to the course with me. And I actually attended the course without him. And I told him I'd call him on Monday and I'd tell him what happened. Well, on Monday I called and I couldn't find him. And I started to get very worried. So I called around and I actually found out that he was in a hospital in Orange County. And they told me that He wouldn't live the week. This was on Monday. And I didn't think he was going to live the day. I just had this real strong hit on it. So I grabbed my friend Jim, and we headed for Orange County. And by the time I got there, he was on a respiration unit. And his eyes had that glassy look, and he had a tube in his mouth. And I had brought down all kinds of little angel foils and things like that that I sprinkled over his bed. And I said, I know what you're worried about. And I think you're worried that nobody will carry your peace torch for you. And that's one of the reasons why there's a torch on the website, because the Statue of Liberty is about peace for me. So when I said that, and I had been asking the nurse whether she thought he was still there or not, or whether the body was just bumping, when I said that to him about how I would pick up the torch and I would carry it, a tear ran down his cheek. And I knew he'd heard. And he was dead within a couple of hours. So my desire to carry the torch, I'm a natural torch bearer left to my own devices anywhere. I carried the Olympic torch in 1984. So when Jim passed this torch to me, I wasn't quite sure of the best way of using it. One of the things that I've done on a regular basis is to invite Jonathan Granoff of the Global Security Commission to be with us on Waking Up in America and let us know what's going on in the world. And as you know, we've taken a sorry turn in the area of nuclear weapons and things of that nature. So hopefully we will be doing some special work in Rome. I found out that the Nobel Peace Laureates were meeting in Rome on Thanksgiving Day, and I thought that was the perfect thing to be doing. So I'm going, and I've been doing a little research on the Nobel Laureates, and I suggest that you go look up the Nobel Peace Laureates. It's one of the most touching things I've ever seen. I actually did not realize that there had been Nobel Laureates back to 1901, and if you go in there and check, there's biographies on all of the people that have gotten the Nobel Laureates Award, and there's something that I point you to in particular. There's a thing called the Nobel Diploma. And when you go inside the bio and you click on that diploma, you'll see that a really good artist produced a painting that goes with each one of the diplomas, the Nobel diplomas that they get. And it's really very moving. And all the way from the president of South Korea to our own Jimmy Carter, there are special paintings that they get presented when they're given the certificate that represent their contribution to world peace. So I'll be calling in from Rome next week, and I'm not quite sure how that's going to work, but there you go. And I've got a diva on board here. She's coming up next. And Diva, what have you got to say to us today?
Well, I have to say hello, Val, and this is Maureen O'Crean for DistinctivelyDiva.com. We are about women, and we're for women. And what I want to remind us about today is the word plush. I think that every woman deserves a plush place to sink into and let all her cares sail away. So I ask you, and for all those divos out there, does your diva have a plush place to sink in at the end of the day? I have a corner. My diva corner is set up just for me. It has a beautiful brass lamp and a faux leopard chair and ottoman, a nice basket box that holds my books and tapes, and a cozy fleece afghan to snuggle under. It is plush, and when I'm there, I immediately invoke peace. So it's a way I've trained myself through my body and my mind that this is where I can let go of all the cares of the world. But plush can come to us in many sources. At this time of the year when it's getting colder, plush velour and velvet outfits are luxurious to wear, no longer delegated to just the evening out. Your feet need plush. Do you have a cozy pair of slippers you can slip into? I'm wearing a fabulous pair of sheepskin slippers with a plush lining, and they keep me warm and pampered at the same time. So why are we so interested in being plush? Because the luxury of life, those tiny little things we do, make all the difference. If you slip into a velvet pantsuit, you cannot feel dowdy. You cannot feel sad. You're instantly lifted. So all that advertisement that's out there is telling us we want things for a better life and we're a better person if we drive a BMW or a Jaguar. All of those triggers out there, we get to play with them in our own life and in our own way. And so I want you to think of how you can pamper your psyche. So today, look around and find if you have a plush spot to call your very own. It doesn't have to be a room. A cozy corner of the couch will do as long as you create it for the diva that you are. And when you care enough, the world will respond. So you are a plush woman, one that the world sinks into every day. It's time to give yourself the space to recharge, so that you can keep on giving. Keep out and keep on the lookout for plush, plush, plush to soften your world. And Val, you will be so happy to know that the Diva Gift Fairy takes flight on Saturday.
Oh, my God, yes.
So everyone go to distinctivelydiva.com and sign up for our surprise club, and you may be one of the lucky divas to receive a surprise package in the mail just because you're perfect just the way you are.
So how about that? You're perfect just the way you are. This program has been produced by Editors On Air Now, our radio partner, ConingCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy in Memoriam, our executive producer, Nathan Jett, our associate producer, and today's guest, good old Mr. Horowitz, and our chief technical officer, Pete Laubach, and to Ruben and the team at Voice America, and to Ben Migan for Almost Ordinary People, and next week, invite a friend to listen. And you are perfect just the way you are.
And it's time to open. This is for you. This is for all in you. Pouring through. Now your heart is open. This is for all of your crazy schemes, love and dreams.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com. With extraordinary plans.